Morgan, I was just looking at my text. It's been 2 years, Mike. That's what life happens, and then you forget about your boys out there. I'm sorry about that.
Wow. Yeah, I was starting to wonder if I just maybe I lost a few miles an hour on my fastball. I wasn't Bill King worthy anymore.
You and your cutter, man. There's really no bite on that either. It's weak. It's
Got no
just.
run. It just stays fat over the plate and getting knocked out of the park left and right. So yeah, sometimes that happens. You got to reinvent yourself. You got to come up with a new pitch.
You know, like Necro, you come up with a knuckle or something, I get you back on the show. Something that jumps around a little bit.
Nuxie. Love
Mike
Phil.
Morgan.
Phil was before he tragically passed away the last few years. In fact, a few of my former Braves coworkers, Don Sutton passed away, who's just an unbelievable guy to work with in the booth. And then Necro, Phil at the Gwinnett Park, the AAA affiliate, he owned a restaurant in the ballpark, Couray Field. It was called Nuxie's. You get your barbecue pork sandwich at Nuxie's Bar and Grill at Couray Field. So, pretty cool way to end your career when you own a restaurant in a ballpark.
Wow. You've done a lot of these SEC games through the years, all the sports, but
Yeah.
SEC tournament, I mean, at what point, they're pushing it back this morning too. Does it become a problem for the team sitting around all this time?
Well, nobody likes it. We're all creatures of habit, and baseball coaches and players are certainly creatures of habit. Rain delays are part of the game that happens, but when you're constantly reshuffling and rearranging, remember the conference tournaments, and it's not just the SEC that goes through this. The ACC in the past has had to go through it. I had an ACC championship game 5, 6 years ago between Clemson and Florida State. We started at 10 a.m. Eastern, anticipating a rain delay, and then of course we had rain and lightning delays. We started at 10 a.m. Eastern. We ended at like 10 p.m. Eastern, so the teams were there for 12-plus hours trying to complete a game.
Oh.
Remember, this is the time of year where most of the teams know their fate. Now, there's a bubble team in every league, and maybe Alabama's that team right now in the league. But as a coach, as much as you'd love to win the SEC tournament, the real definition of your season is going to be told in the weeks after. You want to win a regional, excuse me, you want to win a super regional, you want to get to Omaha, and you'd gladly take that over having a great run in Hoover. So they're trying to save some pitching. Like, you don't want to burn all your arms in this event, and then it winds up costing you a week later in regional play. So that's the other element. Like, in football and basketball, you don't have to worry about that stuff. You know who your starting 11 are on offense and defense. In basketball, you know your starting five. And if there's delays or postponements, and it doesn't matter. You're going to have to say, well, when you're a head coach, you got to consider all these factors. Well, did he warm up? Did he pitch a couple of innings? Well, then if he did, then he's burnt for the next day. And so and then you got your eye on the future because you want to make sure that you're as fresh as can be in regional play. So checkers turns to chess quickly as it is, and now you're going to throw all these delays everywhere. I hate it for the coaches. I really do, because they are pulling their hair out right about now.
Having said that, what's Tennessee's objective here whenever they get to play today, knowing they're going to host and knowing they're a one seed probably?
I think their objective is to get out of there without any injuries, to get out of there without using any arms more than they need to. Tennessee can put this thing on autopilot, and they're still going to be a national seed. And who cares if it's one or two? I mean,
right,
the number one national seed hasn't won the whole thing since 1999. So I don't even know if that's a blessing or a curse at this point. But Tennessee could go out there and get killed 100-0 twice and still be playing at the friendly confines of Lindsey Nelson Stadium for the regionals and the super regionals. And that's what matters. So for them, This is a nice showcase, but I don't know if it does a whole lot for what they need to do. Remember, last year, Arkansas won the tournament and then won the regular season crown, then won the SEC tournament. I had them in the Super Regional against NC State, and they lost at home in Game 3 in heartbreaking fashion. So, you know, winning the SEC tournament is obviously an honor. You get a ring. The kids will never forget it. But I don't know if it does much for you the rest of the way. I don't buy into this. Well, now they're really hot because they just won the conference tournament. I'm not sure if that really does anything better for you in terms of having a deep run in the postseason.
Mike, give me about a minute on this one, and then we'll kick it over to maybe a baseball question or two from the audience and then some football. Whether it's legitimate to have this conversation or not, people are asking, where does this Tennessee team, at least to this point in the year, we don't even know the fate yet, but from what you've seen, do they compare to some of the better SEC teams you've seen through the years?
Absolutely. And you know, Bill, I've been doing SEC baseball on radio and TV for over 20 years.
Right.
This is maybe the most complete team I've ever seen, because there's been a lot of really good teams that rack up a bunch of wins like Tennessee has, but they're not exceptionally deep. You know, the soft underbelly is they don't have that guy coming off the bench. Well, Tennessee has that. They have guys coming off the bench that would start for almost any other school in the country. The soft underbelly is, for a lot of these teams, great rotation, but their bullpen's not deep. Well, Tennessee's bullpen is deep, and they've got really four legitimate aces on the mound, and you only get three spots to use them every weekend. The biggest debate that we had at the end of the year was which Tennessee pitcher was going to win pitcher of the year, because there's too many to choose from. You've got a guy who throws 105 miles an hour who's been used as kind of a setup guy out of the bullpen for much of the year. I've never seen a team that had the dominance on offense with all the home runs and then not only lead the league in ERA, but they're like a run better than anybody else. So if you say, well, Tennessee just hits a lot of home runs because they play in a hitter-friendly ballpark. Well, if it's so hitter-friendly, how come nobody's scoring against them? Like, it's just what they've done is insanely good, insanely good. And I covered Arkansas last year. I've covered some dominating Vanderbilt teams. They are the most complete out there. Now, they don't have a Kamar rocker or a lighter like Vanderbilt did. That's just an arm that you're like, oh my goodness, can anybody get a hit off this guy? But again, 1 through 25, they're as good as any team I've seen. Now, I say that with the following caveat. That doesn't mean they're a lock to win the title, because the most talented team does not always win in Omaha. In fact, most of the time, the number one seed does not. But there is nothing lacking. There is nothing that you say, well, there's one concern I have about Tennessee and this. No, there are no concerns. They are that good. And they have the ability to absolutely win a national championship. The question is, will they do it?
Quick one. Jim in Jupiter, Florida, wants to know what's wrong with Florida State baseball.
First of all, I love Jupiter, beautiful part of the country.
You're from there. You're from that area.
I'm from West Palm Beach. Yeah, I'm not far from Jupiter at all. I've got good friends that live in Jupiter. What's wrong with Florida State? Florida State, it just so happens that I had Florida State on a Tuesday night a few days ago, and Florida won on a walk-off in the night. Florida State, it's this simple. Florida State has Omaha pitching and a lackluster lineup that doesn't score. With the pitching they have, with Parker Messick is as good as anybody out there, they have got a really, really good staff that absolutely is Omaha good. But I can't remember the last time I've seen a Florida State lineup that's 12th in batting average, 11th in runs scored, 12th, I'm talking ACC conference ranks, 12th in slugging percentage. They just can't hit. And so, yes, there have been a few teams that have been able to just kind of scratch and claw their way to Omaha without much of an offense. because the pitching's so good. Florida State has that ability, but I don't know if I see it this year. I just think, obviously, Coach Martin Jr. is going to have to really start bringing in some better bats, and Florida State is a prominent program that'll get there. They'll recruit well under him, I have no doubt, but this year's lineup, it's just not Florida State-like.
Mike Morgan, ESPN. Mike, down to about 2.5-3 minutes. Jimbo and Nick are in a snit, as we know, and the SEC meetings are coming up in Sandestin, and they have sports-exclusive meetings during those meetings, which means the football coaches are all in a boardroom of some sort together. How awkward is that going to be?
You know, it's awkward, but I have this weird feeling as much as we anticipate a no-holes-barred, steel-cage match, loser has to leave town between Saban and Jimbo. It's a lot easier to air your dirty laundry when the other guy's not in the same room. It's just like any other facet of life. I think they'll play nice, honestly. I don't think we're going to have any more fireworks while this thing goes on. The rest of the fireworks will go on in October when they play, but I don't think that much is going to go out. Like, Jimbo got it all off his chest. Nick got it all off his chest. They've been reprimanded publicly by Greg Sankey. And after that, now we can argue about other things like scheduling models and how in the heck are we going to start getting some type of law and order when it comes to NIL. But it's awkward. It's strange. You and I were in Hoover when Phil Fulmer was served a subpoena by the Alabama faithful. I mean, weird things happen in this league. It's part of the reason that we love it. But I don't think much more is going to come out of it in Destin.
Mike, good to hear from you, man.
Always, Bill. Been too long. We need to get you on the podcast with J.C. Sherbert and myself.
Yeah, tell J.C. I said hello. Good people.
Will do.
All right, man. Mike Morgan, ESPN, and he broadcasts pretty much any sport they've got. SEC, he said he had the Florida State game a couple of weeks ago.